Colfax, my friend, on a Thursday afternoon, 5 minutes after the hour. And I don't know that we have confirmed anything about Colorado State playing whoever, if they're going to play. So that's, I mean, it's a get it while it lasts, folks. Go to thewholeshow.com and vote on this one, because I'm guessing we're going to have some resolution on this question within the hour, within the half hour, probably. Power to Play Sports poll question: will CSU play a football game this weekend? Justin Michael, reporting from DNVR Rams, saying he's hearing sources telling him no, it's not going to happen, and they'll focus on Air Force. So, but I'm watching here, and it's not that I don't believe in Trustin Justin. I'm just like, Trustin Justin, that's good. I'm waiting to see, because other sources that we've heard from 2 days ago said it was canceled. CSU, UNLV, but then that changed, and then it changed back. It's all very confusing. However, hooligans are, they're not very gullible, Colfax. They don't buy things, you know, they're kind of cynical. So 73% of the hooligans say no, CSU will not play this weekend. So we'll talk about that. I'll be monitoring it throughout the day. It is also Thursday night special coming up. This is going to be a lot of fun tonight. Seattle, Arizona. Oh my goodness, what am I doing? What am I going to pick? I have no clue. I really don't. I'm going to let the show guide me today, Colfax. How about last night? So let's talk about what's confirmed, Colfax. What we know. The Nuggets with number 22. Here's where they went.
With the 22nd pick in the 2020 NBA Draft, the Denver Nuggets select Zeke Nnaji from the University of Arizona.
I like it. I like that, Colfax. You know, this is a draft. Even when we break into what happened, you know, throughout the rest of the draft night, I don't know that anybody in this draft is going to change a team's fate overnight or within the next year or two. So the Nuggets were in a position where they don't need that guy, and they haven't needed that guy since they got it right several years ago with Nikola Jokic, Jamal Murray, and, you know, Gary Harris, and now MPJ. They got it right. So pressure was off. So they do that at 22. We're going to talk more about Zeke Nnaji out of Arizona. He is a great defensive player. I mean, an excellent energy guy. He's kind of like a Kenneth Faried, but more controlled in the post game. Probably a little bit better sound one-on-one defense. Faried wasn't a great, like, one-on-one defender. He was good at off-ball defense. This guy's going to be good. He plays the piano, Colfax. He's like a really smart dude. You've played the piano before, haven't you, Colfax?
No.
Oh, you haven't?
No, I haven't.
You were in the band.
I played saxophone.
Is that hard?
Saxophone?
Yeah.
I mean, not for me.
I just started learning the guitar.
I saw that.
And that is hard.
The guitar is very difficult.
My fingers are numb. Is that normal?
Yeah, you got to build up the calluses. You know?
Oh, all the three here, my pointer, my middle finger, and my index finger. I mean, those are...
Well, pinky exercises are important, too.
I haven't done that yet. I haven't got there, you know?
They make, like, little weights that you can lift.
You just strap them on, like, yeah. Velcro them on.
Yeah. You just do the reps.
It's hard. It's hard to curl your hand around the neck, man.
I mean,
it's difficult.
Well, that's why, if you're cool like Eddie Van Halen, you just do both hands or something like
that's
that.
That's what I should do.
That's what you should do.
I'm trying to. Well, my kid really likes it. He likes when I play the guitar. I stop, and he runs over, grabs the guitar, and lifts it up and hands it to me.
That's very sweet.
Yes. It's like, again. So my kid is going to find. I've had a guitar forever. I've had books on guitar forever. I've had a guitar in some way or another since I was 18 years old, and I never bothered. I tried it for a little bit, you know, did some smoke on the water, and then I'm done. That was it. Learned some tabs, some Cornell songs.
Yep.
And then I kind of just moved on with my life. My kid, it took me to have a child to actually motivate me to learn the guitar. How about that?
That's strange.
Yeah. So, but no, I mean, I think this is a cool thing, right? When Calvin Booth, Tim Conley did the Zoom interview with Zeke, they knew about his piano playing. He, like, composed a song when he was, like, eight. A piano song. That's tough. So they joked with him. He's very well put together if you listen to him speak, which again is another thing the Nuggets look for, character guys. If you notice, most of their guys on their team are high character guys. Probably all of them are. They joked with him, though, and said, hey, can you play something for us in one of these Zoom meetings? Because they met with him several times via Zoom. He also worked out for him. And he said, sure. 5 minutes later, he's moving the Zoom around. Starts playing the piano for him. They liked that. They said they looked at that and said, that's the kind of, I don't know, spontaneity that we kind of like. He just decided to do it rather than, yeah, we'll do it sometime. He had such a good conversation and he felt comfortable already. But this is going to be fun, man. I mean, he's excellent. And I think he's going to be a great addition to a team that really feels close. Like they really do feel like they're close to getting to that next step. And is this guy going to be a big part of that? I mean, we'll see. So here's the other one. We don't have the 100% confirmation, Colfax. Two picks later, we're told the Nuggets traded. Well, that's what happened. They traded the future lottery-protected first-round pick to New Orleans. New Orleans selected R.J. Hampton, but technically the Nuggets did. So we kind of did our own thing.
With the 24th pick in the 2020 NBA Draft, the Denver Nuggets select R.J. Hampton from Little Elm, Texas.
It's so confusing. NBA Draft is so silly, man. I mean, they do this every year. I mean, this is Gary Harris. It's the exact same thing, and it happens all the time.
It's just funny watching like the coverage, and then they just pretend like they don't know what's going on, and they just pretend like they're going to go forward with...
Right. They wear the hats. Yeah. They take all the pictures of the team that they're on.
Yeah.
But we already know. Like, this is why NBA fans, you get a little confused. Why did we pass on Donovan Mitchell? Well, you didn't. You never had it. You never had that spot. Even though he wore a Nuggets hat, the Jazz called him. They pick up the cellular phone and say, hey, we've got your pick. We've already worked out the trade months ago, days ago, whatever. Take Donovan. Okay, you got it. We got Donovan. Here you go. That's how it works. It's so silly.
Very strange.
It's really, like in the NFL, they just trade the draft picks. They move up and you have to do it right then. But you have to finalize everything and it's the way the NBA does it. So, R.J. Hampton will be a Denver Nugget. It's not official. So, if you go to DenverNuggets.com, there's nothing about him. So, I'll get our guy Chris Dempsey on. And I don't have him confirmed today, Colfax. I think he's too busy. But as much as we love him and when he gives us insight, he's not going to be able to tell us any much about R.J. Hampton because, you know, he works for Altitude. He works for the Nuggets. So it's very interesting. But let's talk about Zeke a little bit more. This move, it's a great move. But what did Chris tell us yesterday? Pay attention to the position the Nuggets get. That's going to tell you a lot about the current guy, the big-time free agent power forwards coming up for the Nuggets. Going to find out more tomorrow. Jeremy Grant, Mason Plumlee, and Paul Millsap. And again, Plumlee, you can say he's a center if you want to, if it makes you feel better, whatever. That move protects you if you don't get any of them. It also adds great depth on the bench. It's another great opportunity for the Nuggets. I mean, I love the move. It's great. He interviewed twice with the Nuggets. He worked out for them. He made a significant impression on their front office. And, they're really happy with him. They're excited about him. He's talked so highly of Nikola Jokic and how much he wants to work with him. It's going to be great. 6'11" freshman. He averaged 16.1 points per game, 8.6 rebounds in his one season in college. It's a different, I mean, he runs too. Like, he runs down the floor. I mean, this is going to be nice for a guy like Nikola Jokic. He moves a lot without the ball. He was the Pac-12 Freshman of the Year. He has the mobility. I mean, to be a very good defender where he can guard anyone. He's a 76% free throw shooter, but he's getting better at shooting. You know, he is a decent shooter, which what you don't have him Plumlee. And really, you don't have the athleticism in Millsap. So, I mean, he's going to be a good solid addition. I don't know how quickly he'll get rolling with this team. It also takes some pressure off of Bol Bol. Because, listen, he's still going to be a big part of their plans. Again, you have a backup center. Bol Bol will be a backup center. But, you know, Zeke is 6'11". So, you know, you'll be able to use him as a center, too. He added 20 pounds of muscle in the offseason. He improved his jump shot. and he improved his three-point shot. I mean, three-point shot. That's, again, don't you didn't have that with Plumlee. Plumlee's gonzo, folks, just so you know. Millsap, probably the same. First Advantage text line, 31996-31996. Poll question of the day, Power to Play Sports poll question of the day. We might switch it up, how you guys feel about the draft. Draft snuck up on everybody, I think, because it's in a weird time, and it's, you know, normally it's in the summer, it's right around the finals. But, you know, it's also the class. The class isn't really, you know, blowing people away. I don't think anybody. So the number one pick, of course, Anthony Edwards goes first to Minnesota. And then James Wiseman goes to Memphis. LaMelo Ball doesn't go till the third round. But he goes to New Orleans. So, excuse me, James, not Memphis. He goes to Golden State. Golden State made a big local splash, too. They got Justinian Jessup, the Longmont kid. I mean, that's a pretty cool story right there. And you know, his brother's playing extremely well, so that's kind of cool. Exciting local name there that probably should have been playing in Colorado State, but he didn't. He played in Boise State. But the Warriors selected him with the 51st pick. Really cool. I mean, not a lot of NBA basketball players come out of the state of Colorado. Not a lot. So anytime you see that, especially Northern Colorado, if you consider Longmont Northern Colorado, anytime you see it, it's pretty cool. All right, 17 minutes after the hour, let's talk about Zeke Nagy a little bit more. The piano man. Dude, you should hear the bands that he likes. I mean, he goes from Jackson 5 to ABBA. Like, he's very versatile. He said his mom and dad pushed him to at least try to listen to a little bit of everything. So that's, you just know, it's a well-rounded guy. And I know, Colfax, maybe I'm making too much of this, but Christian McCaffrey plays the piano. Guys that can play a musical instrument and also have an athletic ability, I just think they separate themselves. Very smart. And, you know, again, maybe I'm making too much of it, but that's a big deal to me. And apparently it was a big deal to Tim Conley and Calvin Booth as they're trying to continue to fill some of their spots. Man, can the Nuggets call the Broncos and tell them how to draft? Because what did the Nuggets need? They needed a better defender or a shooter. Or a power forward that's a better defender and can shoot to replace Plumlee. Because Plumlee was not doing it in the playoffs. Whatever they liked about him faded when he went up against the best in a 7-game series. So this is a great move. Denver drafts the guy they need. They make a trade. They trade a future lottery pick, a protected first rounder, to New Orleans for R.J. Hampton. R.J. Hampton is a slasher guard. He's 6'5", 185 pounds. The only scary thing is, what does that mean for Gary Harris and or Monte Morris? But he had a little bit of a weakness with the three-point game. He wasn't bad. You know, a guard. He's still going to be able to shoot the three. So what did he do over the summer? He worked with Mike Miller, former Nugget, for a little bit. But obviously one of the best three-point shooters in NBA history. So he worked with him all summer. So he's improved that. Let's talk about the Nuggets a little bit more. Where are we with the CSU game? I don't think it's happening, so I tend to agree with the Hooligans here. I'll keep digging. We'll keep looking around, but it doesn't sound like he's going to go. Colfax, before we go, let me get to my big story of the day. How about we do that first, because this is fairly breaking. Golden State can't get a break. Big story of the day presented by FMS Bank. Klay Thompson, who missed last season, has suffered a season ending already. Achilles tear. He was in a workout, just tore his Achilles. I think it's on the opposite leg. But I've heard that, you know, in these situations, when you hurt one leg, you baby that leg, you put a lot more pressure on the other one. So who knows? But this was supposed to be a Golden State team that was going to recharge. What does that do now for Golden State? We said they'd be back in the mix. Are they a playoff team with Steph, Draymond, and of course what they did in the draft? Should be noted as well. So I mean, they're going to be, you know, with James Wiseman, they're going to be good. He's going to be a starter. How good will he be right off the bat? Don't know. I don't know if any of these guys change a fate of a franchise. 20 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break. When we come back, more on this free agency situation next for Denver. Now they got their draft figured out. What are they doing in the free agent? There's a lot of big questions surrounding this Nuggets team. All right, this is the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Good one, Colfax.
Dan Patrick, The Hull Show, and Colin Cowherd are on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
Hey, Nugget fans, this is Coach Bowen of the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to The Hull Show, powered by PDC Energy. Brian Howell of Buff Zone, a great friend of the show here, tweeted this out. It doesn't sound like it's going to happen. CU, CSU, anyway. Brian tweeted this. Following criteria must be met for a Pac-12 team to schedule a non-conference opponent. Non-conference opponent must adhere to Pac-12 testing protocols. Game must be a home game for the Pac-12 team. So, I mean, again, if this were a normal year, CU was supposed to play at Canvas Stadium. Was that a sticking point? Did the testing protocols not live up to the Pac-12s? Non-conference game can be canceled if a Pac-12 team suddenly becomes available by Thursday. What? So let's just play. Let's pretend here. Let's play pretend. Let's say CSUC was going to happen. They were all ready to go. Suddenly a Pac-12 team calls up and says, hey, you know, never mind. Let's play this weekend. We fixed it. You have to call and say, sorry, CSU. Who do you think you are, the Pac-12? I'm going to talk to Kelly Lyle in a moment. I also heard that Wyoming, the situation for Wyoming, let me find it here. Yeah, again, Justin Michael tweeted out an hour ago, a spokesman from Colorado State has confirmed to me that the Rams will not play this weekend and focus on Air Force next week. Let's look at a few more things. Okay, CSU Wyoming's not going to happen either. Now, I don't know. Kevin Lytle tweeted this from the Coloradoan. Cowboy fans, media, players, and students. This is a note that went out to them from Wyoming with who are they playing this weekend? Was it going to be Utah State? Yeah, USU. Canceling our game on Wednesday. I did everything possible to secure a regional opponent to play. I wanted our players to have a chance to compete. They deserve it. Unfortunately, nobody wanted to play. I am frustrated and disappointed. I appreciate our players' focus on staying healthy and beg them to stay focused while preparing to play again. Hashtag, we just want to play. So, they're not going to go because of why? I'm not sure. Very, very interesting, Colfax. This is a... yeah, I'm just trying to make sense of it all, but why not play Wyoming? Did CSU not want to do it? You don't want to lose your boot?
Did CSU fans want that to happen?
I mean, I don't know. Did CSU just absolutely stun them? Was it just like, you not think they could do it again? I have no clue. So I want to talk to Kelly about that. And the CU thing doesn't sound like it's going to happen. I don't think the testing protocols are up to their standards. And maybe CSU was like, no, you got to come here. CU was supposed to have, it was supposed to be a home game this weekend for them, correct? I believe. And obviously, CSU was supposed to be a home game against UNLV. So, was that a sticking point? Or was it, does it just come down to the testing protocols? So, I'm guessing it's not happening. So, Wyoming's not in play. And it sounds like CU will not play a non-conference opponent. Rick George did say this. Let me get what Rick George said moments ago. I mean, this pretty much settles it. Adam Munster-Tiger shared this from Buff Zone. We are waiting out the day to make sure the other five Pac-12 games that are scheduled will go forth with no COVID issues and that we would not be matched in a conference game. That being said, even though the conference has approved non-conference opponents, all you hooligans that were arguing with me today about this?
Well, Pac-12 not going with non-conference.
Oh, really? They also said they weren't playing basketball in 2020. Last time I checked, Tad Boyle and his crew are getting ready to play next Wednesday. That is 2020, right? November's still in 2020, right, Colfax? Okay. That being said, even though the conference has approved non-conference opponents, if one can be found that satisfies the testing protocols the Pac-12 has in place for its members, We will not play a non-conference opponent this weekend. So they will allow it if they deem the other conference and their testing up to their standards. What are they doing wrong? I don't know. 30 minutes after the hour, we're going to talk to Kelly Lyle of the Fort Collins, Colorado one coming up next. Let's get the rundown from him. Text the show in the meantime. First Advantage text line 31996. Vote on the poll question now because we'll probably change it in about 5 minutes. Will CSU play a football game this weekend? No. 30 minutes after the hour, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hear Mornings with Gale, weekdays 6 to 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
This is Brian Howell, Colorado Buffalo's beat writer for the Buff Zone, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
We never know anything anymore, Colfax. That is what 2020, that's what I've learned the most. We know nothing. We know absolutely nothing. Kelly Lyle knows a few things. Kelly Lyle from the Fort Collins, Colorado. And Kelly, is Colorado State playing this weekend?
No, they're not. They have kind of confirmed in the last few minutes or last hour or so that they are not going to play. And it's too bad because there were some opportunities out there, I think, if people really, really, really wanted to play a game this weekend, that they could have made it happen.
Kelly, okay, so let's look down south then. First off, with CU, tell us, I mean, it sounds like the Pac-12 suddenly saying, okay, maybe we could make a, you know, exception for non-conference games. But can you get into that with us? Why won't that happen? Why won't CU-CSU happen?
Well, the Pac-12's ruling on that is that they made an exception as of this morning, that or at some point today they've made that exception. They passed it formally. But the Pac-12 team has to be the home team. The Pac-12 testing protocols have to be followed, which my understanding is the Mountain West protocols and Pac-12 protocols are virtually the same. So I don't think the testing was going to be an issue. But they insist that the Pac-12 team has to be at home, and they insist that those games can be canceled all the way up through the end of the day today if the another Pac-12 game is canceled and they need to shuffle around their own schedule. So I think that was a potentially stumbling block, too, besides the fact that the original contract for the showdown had CU coming here to Fort Collins to play that game, as opposed to CSU going to Boulder. With no fans, I'm not sure that matters as much as it used to, It might have. But I understand that might have been an issue, and, you know, it adds some complication to the idea, especially in COVID times, what travel means and the number of buses you need and just how you're going to go about doing all that. And then the other part of it is that I think is an even bigger deal is the thought that you could commit right now to play him and then find out at 6 o'clock tonight that another Pac-12 game isn't happening this week, and the Pac-12 now wants to match CU and whoever else lost a game because of COVID issues. And so you're out of luck again. I think that was probably the key point. And I've got to admit, I'm not sure how keen Steve Adazio and his program were on wanting to play a CU team that looks pretty decent right now.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Was that the main sticking point you mentioned, too? Yeah, Thursday, that would suck, right? You plan to play CU, and then at 6 o'clock, that would absolutely be terrible for Rams fans. Was the main thing, because you're saying the testing protocols might really not be the issue, because Mountain West, similar to Pac-12, was it really just the home-and-home situation? Was CSU basically standing firm on that, saying, hey, we're not coming down there? CU saying, well, it's Pac-12. We're not coming there for sure.
Well, we won't know because Joe Parker won't come out and talk to anybody about it, won't make a comment. He's declined. I was dealing with some other stuff this morning when Kevin Lytle reached out to him to try to get a comment, but we weren't going to get one. Certainly I couldn't get one yesterday when I tried. And I think that may have been the stumbling block. I also think there's some concern from the football program standpoint about maybe just not wanting to play a team like that right now, given that they're coming off a pretty bad beating at Boise State. And they've got a short week already with a game Thursday at Air Force. I think that factored into it as well, the fact that you know, by not playing this weekend, maybe it gives them a little more time to prepare for Air Force, which you've got that option, you know, you've got that triple option look and some different things that teams do to get ready for that. So playing them on a short week was never going to be a good thing for, especially for a new coaching staff at CSU. So I think it was a combination of those two factors primarily, of maybe not one, you know, three factors, I guess, of being a little fearful of playing a pretty solid, what's looking like a pretty decent CU team. And then the prep time cutting into, you know, the fact that you could get some extra prep time now that you wouldn't have otherwise had for Air Force to maybe be more prepared to play that game on Thanksgiving Day. And certainly the site was probably a factor too. I think CSU was like, hey, you know what? We had this long-term contract and it was your turn to come here. And we still want you to come here. So probably a combination of all those factors played into it. We won't know unless somebody decides to come out and tell us which one was the most significant. I'm guessing it was probably a bit of all three, but how big a role each played, I don't know yet.
Kelly, okay, so we kind of know, at least we're acting as if we kind of know why CSU's not happy. What about Wyoming? Was there ever any, do you think there was ever any real consideration to have a rematch?
You know, I really don't know on that one. And again, that was another one where the site would have potentially been an issue too, because, you know, Wyoming just came down here 2 weeks ago for a game, and Colorado State and Wyoming were both scheduled to have home games this weekend. Wyoming's would have actually been tonight against Utah State. And so I don't know if that was a factor or not, but I'm guessing there was probably some hesitancy on the part of Wyoming to want to turn around and come right back down and play a team at the same stadium that you just played 2 weeks ago and lost to. And I'm guessing there were a lot of other issues. You've got the boot, and would the boot be on the line again? Probably not. You know, I'm sure CSU was kind of like, wait a minute, no, we won that fair and square. Right. We're not going to give you a second chance to win it back just 2 weeks later. I don't know again, but I think it's, I was really impressed that UCLA and Cal found a way to pivot and make their game happen on such short notice a week ago. And I was really hoping that maybe there'd be that will involving these three schools to find some combination that would work. Even if it had been CSU left out in the dark and Wyoming and Colorado had agreed to play, I would have been like, okay, well, at least, you know, they went for it. But I think that it's a lot easier to say we really want to play a game and we'll play whoever's available than to actually go out and do it. And I think that's where the kind of the rubber hit the road, as they say.
Yeah, man, this is Kelly. It is so bizarre. You know, it's funny because we're having listeners at the beginning of the day saying, well, first off, Pac-12 is not playing non-conference games. They're just not doing it. They're said, well, I think one thing we've learned, Kelly, is 2020, Pac-12 in August said they weren't going to be playing basketball in 2020. Well, CU plays next Wednesday. So I think the one thing I take away from this is don't worry about what you hear today if that's a rule. It's not, nothing is set in stone.
Yeah, I mean, again, yes, everything can change very constantly, very quickly on a moment's notice. You know, I mean, honestly, as bad as this was for CSU losing a game sort of late short notice, think about Wyoming. They found out on Tuesday that they weren't playing a Thursday game, home game.
Right.
You know, CSU at least was finding out on Tuesday that they are on Wednesday that they weren't going to play a Friday or a Saturday game. There was a little bit more warning in there. But, yeah, these things are happening very short notice. The, you know, coaches are having to deal with players. Yank pulled out at the last minute because of both positive tests and or contact tracing. And I'm sure that's creating a tremendous amount of headaches. You know, Steve Adazio has addressed that a few times, as have other coaches, about the just the complete uncertainty. And, how, you know, you've got to try to get your third and fourth stringers ready for a game. But if you spend too much time prepping them, then your first and second stringers aren't ready. So how do you balance all that out in a limited practice window? And there's just so many complications involved that I think, you know, I guess getting any games in is a bonus compared to what the original plan was going to be for the Mountain West. But when all is said and done, the number of games the Rams get in this year may end up being pretty limited.
Kelly, what about, okay, so we hear UNLV's canceled, and then I think I caught you or Kevin on Twitter noted Mountain West didn't say canceled. They just said they're not playing this weekend. Now, again, at the beginning of the season, we were told the Mountain West said, hey, if a game is canceled, that's it. We're not making it up. Is there any potential of making this game up? Has that changed at all?
I think it has, and I think what happened is I think you can look, and mathematically, neither CSU or UNLV is going to qualify to play in that conference championship game on December 19th. So all of a sudden, that becomes an available date for both programs that if they were in the hunt for the conference title, wouldn't necessarily be available. I think there is a distinct possibility that they may try to go ahead and play that game that day, or at least the conference didn't want to preclude those two schools from working out a plan to play that day by saying it was canceled and ruled a no contest, as they have done with all the other games that have been in that situation. So I do think there's still a chance those two schools will play and that that's how they'll do it. Again, they may not have set a date, though, because they might both lose next weekend's game and decide to play each other next weekend or 2 weeks from now. There's still so much, you know, fluctuation possible that also may have been a factor of just the idea of we don't have to say right now what day we're going to play it, but we do want to try to play this game at some point when we can.
What a bizarre week, Kelly. I know you were in on that Zoom call when you're getting the news. It's canceled. Oh, wait. No, we walk it back. It's still on. Coach Adazio saying yesterday to you guys, oh, no, we're ready to go. Everybody's ready. And then you hear it again. This is even for 2020, this has got to be the most bizarre week.
Yeah, it's certainly a strange week. And, you know, we're just observers to it, honestly. We're
right.
I can't even imagine being one of the coaches dealing with it, and you're trying to prep film, and, you know, you've spent the past 5 days breaking down film, and this is how you're going to do this against UNLV, and this is how you're going to do this, and you're teaching your guys this is what you look for, and if you see this, they're probably going to do this, and then it all gets thrown out the window, and then you're sitting here going, huh, well, maybe we'll be playing CU or Wyoming. How do we prep for, you know, and so there's a little uncertainty there for a day or two, you know, maybe only a day. I don't know how much they really entertained those things within the football program. But, yeah, just and now you're to, okay, moving on to Air Force. We're not going to play this weekend, and let's start getting ready for them. I think the ups and downs of it are probably pretty difficult to deal with for college football programs. You know, high school programs, they're probably a little bit more flexible. Somebody was pointing out not too long ago, one of the ESPN announcers about the Cal-UCLA game or Fox Sports announcers was saying, you know, it's kind of like the old high school days when you just, you know, okay, we're going to, you know what, we're playing these guys instead this weekend. Here's 30 minutes of tape on them. Let's go. you know, yeah, college football programs are way more prepped than that. They spend so much more time preparing and getting ready for every supposedly possible scenario. So, you know, I don't know for sure how it's all going to shake out, but it's definitely going to be different.
Yeah.
And it's got to be really, really tough on the players and their emotions and their mental preparation, let alone the physical preparation of your sort of tapering down for a game. And now, now we're not going to play again for another week.
Wow. You know, I know a lot of Rams fans, Kelly, you're probably already seeing it on social media, are basically going to look at it like this is you know, we got screwed. This is CU's fault. This is Pac-12's fault. Maybe it is. But at the end of the day, like you said, there's so many variables, so many complications to get through. Maybe it just seemed like way too much work for what it was worth at the end of the day.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's probably just a lot easier. Again, I think it's a lot easier to say, yeah, let's find a way to make this happen than to actually pull off all the logistics of making it happen. You know, you've got to have, because not only do you have the testing protocols, but you've got to have the various personnel at the stadium to make sure that, you know, the people that are being allowed in are the only the ones allowed in, that they've passed symptom checker trackers, and that they've been approved to be allowed in, whether it's media like us or whether it's a stadium worker that's, you know, going to make sure whatever There's just so many other factors involved. So, again, it all looks a lot easier from the outside than it probably is from the inside.
Yeah, no question about it. Well, Kelly, I was looking forward to seeing you this weekend. Doesn't sound like it's going to be a go. Running out of these games, though. Running out of home games for sure. We'll see what, if CSU can make it through the rest of the season, my friend.
Yeah, we will. And at this point, they're down to only two home games left now, I think, or one home game left. One home game.
Yeah, one. Wow.
They've lost two of the four scheduled home games. So at this point, the only home game remaining is looks like it's going to be that season finale against Utah State. And who knows what December is going to hold. November certainly held many surprises and not necessarily a good way.
Wow. Well, it'll be interesting. The game watch is more interesting these days than the actual game. Kelly, we'll catch up with you next Thursday, my friend. Well, actually, no. We'll be off. It's Thanksgiving, so we'll look forward to catching up with you down the road.
Well, and I'll be covering a game, hopefully, at the Air Force Academy that will be being played that day at noon. So we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see, man. All right, my friend. Thanks again, Kelly. Kelly Lyle of the Fort Collins Coloradoan. It comes down to a few things. Kelly's kind of saying, I don't know that the protocols really were an issue, but for CU, it's supposed to be a Pac-12 home game. Maybe CSU's like, we wanted it here. Honestly, is it worth going down there? Probably going to get beat pretty bad. Is that worth it? There's a lot of variables in it, Colfax, really. The Wyoming one, though, do that one. Like, if you want to play another game, yeah, go for it. I'd be game for it. It'd be weird, but I'd be down to do it. But it sounded like CSU was more or less like, nah, we already did that game. We'd just rather get ready for our game next week, which that's against Air Force. They're canceling games left and right. So there's no guarantee that game's going to happen. All right, 51 minutes after the hour. New Power to Play Sports poll question, Colfax. Grade the number 22 pick for the Denver Nuggets. That's where we'll go with this one. Zeke Nagy, A, B, C, D, or F. Go grade at theholeshow.com. We'll be right back. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios.
You're listening to The Hull Show, powered by PDC Energy and 1310 KFKA. Brady will be back after the break. No code now. Weekdays at 4 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 1310 KFKA.
Hey, it's Andrew Bogish from CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to The whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Well, kind of a blur of a first hour. We learned that there will be no Colorado State game this weekend. It appears that there will be no Colorado Buffaloes game this weekend as well. Maybe just too difficult to get this thing done. Rams fans, I know you're upset with that one. First Advantage text line, 31996, 31996. Text the program. And, we'll talk about it. You got to think Rams fans feel robbed. I mean, I don't like the whole Pac-12 thing. You know, it has to be a home game. I get it. They're protecting theirs, the money, all that stuff. I understand that. But CU, CSU, I mean, it was supposed to be scheduled at Colorado State this year. CU's losing a home game as well. Theirs was supposed to be a home game. So I get it. It sounds complicated, man. I mean, to turn it all around, it's a lot harder than it sounds. You know, hey, let's just go play. Let's go down there. The Wyoming thing maybe is a little difficult, too. I mean, you've already done that. So ultimately, it just comes down to it's probably just too much of a hassle this late in the week. You know, we didn't get this confirmed, the UNLV thing confirmed, until yesterday. It's Thursday, Colfax. It's Thursday. We got the Thursday night special coming up a little bit later on. Grade the Nuggets draft picks. We'll talk about last night, a great first round for Denver. What does that mean for the rest of the roster? Second hour coming up next.